I have to admit, I was surprised that you put in for mayor. I don't know. I think sometimes when I see you at the store, I sense that you might have been frustrated, maybe not with being on the assembly, but with maybe certain issues or something. And what do you see moving to the mayor's chair as accomplishing for you?
First of all, Robert, thank you for having me here. And it was frustration. I believe that the last 2 years have been pretty hollow as far as substance, as far as getting issues taken care of in Sitka. We haven't taken care of any economic development. We're not looking ahead at what Sitka could be as opposed to what it was. And I was frustrated. I'm a project person. I like getting things done. I'm a hard worker. And no, I've never wanted to be mayor, but I thought, you know what? I think we need a different type of leadership, and I think it's just getting in there and getting down to the grassroots and getting things done.
What difference does the mayor make, do you think? I mean, we all know that in our system, the mayor is just one of seven votes. How do the ideas of the mayor, you know, become action any more than anybody else's ideas on the assembly?
Well, without three other votes, Robert, it doesn't become action. But I think with being able to set the agendas, another thing I think we've done too much of is work sessions as opposed to, you know, including those work sessions within the actual meeting so people know what we're doing. In town hall meetings, we know usually people that are very pro or con the issue will show up, but nobody else does. So I think we've had too many meetings that just the general public doesn't know what we're doing. And so I believe that I will make it so that we have a half hour before each regular, not before the meeting, but when the meeting starts, the first half hour will be whatever work session or town meeting would have been. And so the people know what's going on because a lot of them are very important issues. People just don't know what we're doing when we have the special meetings or town halls.
Right. Yeah, I've been doing this a while. I've heard that often when people are running for mayor, they wanna somehow create more transparency for people. They wanna have issues up kind of in the front, and so people understand better. Because it seems like a lot of times people come to the assembly table when you're on second and final reading with something and they're going, this is the first I've heard of this. And they're, you know, pounding their shoe on the table. And that's got to be frustrating.
It is very frustrating. And when I say it's going to be more open and transparent, it will be more open and transparent. Can I make a difference on the issues? Not without three other votes. But I'm just hoping that we become a little less interested in our own agendas on the assembly and work towards what's best for Sitka. Not what we think's best for Sitka, but what will really move Sitka ahead.
What's more important, do you think, four votes or seven votes?
Well, no, absolutely four votes, because you're not going to do anything with four votes. And I don't think seven votes are important because I like the difference of opinion. So if you always have seven votes, then I don't think you're getting the reality of what Sitka's all about. I don't think any board or commission should be 5-0 or 7-0. I think getting the majority if you're on that side of the issue is important. But I just think that the issues should be closer that we work on. You know, I think a 3-4 vote on the assembly is always good because it could go either way.
Is there anything that you're particularly proud of in your service on the assembly so far?
You know, the newspaper asked me that for the last 2 years, and there's really nothing I'm very proud of other than I've tried to keep spending down. Without really going back and thinking, I think we've started working on our infrastructure. I think we've made people aware that our roads need fixing, that we have no sinking funds for a lot of our infrastructure. I don't want to go back to my first 3 years on the assembly. I have to tell you, I enjoyed the assembly my first 3 years because we came to the assembly table and discussed the issues. We didn't have our minds made up, and I might have my opinion kind of made up before I went to the meeting, but listened to the full discussion, listened to the people, and I was willing to change my mind, but it doesn't seem like it's been that way the last 2 years, and I don't like not being able to compromise and change my mind, but if the issues are so far away from what I believe in, I can't change my mind.
October 5th, you're elected mayor. Second meeting in October, you'll get the gavel. What do you think you would do first as mayor in terms of the agenda or trying to steer, you know, create transparency?
The first thing I'm going to do is ask the people in the assembly to support maybe going after the marine passenger fee fund money that the state holds and get a working dock out at the cove so we can get some wharfage fees, some maybe cruise ship fees, anything, you know, and maybe even some infrastructure that will help us get bulk water ships in here. But if we don't start looking ahead to what's going to bring money into the town, because we keep spending it, but our sales tax revenue keeps dropping, and pretty soon there's not going to be any money to work with. So I'm going to say, let's move forward. Let's try to get a working dock. Let's work with the tribe on maybe an inter-island ferry system. Let's get the dam built and maybe even be able to sell some of that electricity to cruise ship docks in the summer. We may never get a cruise ship dock at a dock, but if we do, you know, that's that equates to about $30,000 a day in different revenues. I know the people don't want to pay for a dock, and that's okay because we can't afford it anyway, but if we can get some of that money that we've taxed the visitor. And I think that's my second thing would be, let's welcome these visitors. They're just here for 4 months. They're willing to spend a little money at, you know, every $100 that a visitor spends here, the $6 sales tax helps the seniors with $100 they spend and don't pay the $6 sales tax. So I think we need to welcome our visitors. I love talking to the visitors. They love Sitka. It's a beautiful place, and I think we should be just a little more open to having them here and spending their money.
Why don't we have a dock at Sawmill Cove yet?
Well, I think money is a big reason, and, you know, I don't know how many years ago we had a vote, and the people said yes, and then we had another vote, and it would be owned by the cruise ship, and we said no, And I don't think, I mean, it just hasn't been been an issue on the forefront, and it's really sad because that big pocket of money sitting in the state coffers from the Marine Passenger Fee Fund is being slowly drawn from. I know, I think Hoonah's going to probably try to get a dock out of that fund this coming legislative season, and I hope. You know, I told Bert Stedman, I said, if we can get a consensus on the assembly, I said, we want to come after and ask for money. And he said, okay, you know, I mean, doesn't hurt to ask.
Do you think McGraw's project would somehow make a city-owned dock at Sawmill Creek redundant?
No, because I don't think having cruise ship... And I don't like to call it a cruise ship dock because even if we got the marine passenger fee money and had the potential of a cruise ship, we may never see one. But, this might be saying to the cruise ship industry, we're going to welcome you. Wouldn't it be awful if each end of town was bringing in money into our city? But I don't think it'll be redundant because Sawmill Cove is an industrial park. There's the potential of shipping out fish and water, bringing in materials for Blue Lake Dam. And this is all jobs. This is stevedoring. This is construction and water. I mean, I was thinking if the bulk water ever takes hold once it gets going, I mean, that's just pretty much free money. So if some sort of infrastructure can be attached to that dock, I don't know that bulk water is, you know, anywhere in the next couple of years, but I do see it happening. I mean, we've got great water.
Why is all that such a tough sell out there, do you think? Do you think people are, you know, they're fearful of Sitka turning into a Franklin Street on Juneau. They're fearful of becoming Skagway. You've lived here a long time.
All my life.
All your life. Do you share any of those fears?
Oh, I don't share those fears. And there are days when I come down, have to be downtown when the streets are full of tourists, and I, you know, quietly may kind of mumble to myself, but then I stop and think, this is such a 4 month a year business. You know, they come in off the ship, spend money, and go away, and after 4 months the town's ours. So I do know my old timer friends, and I'm getting to be one of them. We don't tend to like change, but on the other hand, we want the infrastructure. We don't want to pay more taxes. And so something's got to offset what they don't want to pay. And you know, it's the some sort of economic enterprise that will provide the offsetting of raising taxes and helping our schools and helping our, I mean, everything. Because the city runs on sales tax revenues, and people don't realize that. So,
Cheryl, I know that you know that whatever happens in November in the general election, Alaska is going to have more junior representation in the United States Senate than it's had for most of the time we've all lived in Alaska, and it's conceivable that Sitka and other communities are going to not be enjoying the amount of federal money that we've seen in the past. I know with the Hames Center, at the assembly table, you've made your objections to the Hames project well known, and you probably are opponent of increasing taxes to pay for something like Hames, but is there some point, do you envision at some point in your tenure, if you are elected mayor, that Sitka might have to say, we've got to have higher taxes? Is that a scenario, you know, you've envisioned the way politics are moving right now in the state?
Well, I don't like to think that we'll have higher taxes, but if we're not open to economic development, then I don't see any other choice. I mean, we can cut the infrastructure down and you know, cut down city staff time, but then you won't receive the services that we're real proud of. The idea of cutting jobs is way down on my list. You know, I think I'd raise taxes before we had to cut services down to nothing. And besides that, we're liable for a lot of the infrastructure and services. So, you know what? I'm going to push economic development. I'm going to push whatever it takes to bring business here. It's not that I want Sitka to become Skagway and Juneau and Ketchikan. That isn't my goal. But if you had two working docks at each end of the town, and literally at each end of the town, and we're providing jobs and income into that. But no, it scares me to think about raising taxes, because people are on fixed incomes. There's nothing. I mean, people don't have jobs that hardly pay anything in the blue collar industry in Sitka. So raising taxes, I mean, we're pushing people out of town.
If the school district comes to the assembly next year and wants an increase again, how will you meet that request?
Well, it would depend on what's going on in our economy, but I don't see anything. I don't see more money being given, because according to all reports, money's going to be less come this time next year. And I'll hope that they we work together and cooperate in spending the money wisely and maybe more efficiently.
Besides the policy things we've talked about, like economic development and tourism and things in Sawmill Cove Industrial Park, the dock out there, are there any other sort of policy things that are of high interest to you that you want to mention as you, you know, head into the election? Is there anything that people should know about you that maybe they don't know and you'd like them to know?
You know, I think I've pretty much been an open book. And since you mentioned Hames a while back, you know, I would like to say that it's not that I'm against the rec center. I think we could build a new one for less than this whole thing is going to cost us, and I think we could probably go after school grants that would even maybe allow us to build something on our own land. But I think realistically, I don't think we're being fair to the citizens by telling them the $6 million is going to do much, because if you listen to the chamber report this last Wednesday, that $6 million equates to only $1.5 million going towards the repairs of the building. And in reality, the roof itself is $2 million. The heating system is over $1 million. And so I want people to realize that if we do get this building, it will take all our extra money, because it will be our building, and we can't just let it sit there. So whatever breaks down and isn't in that $6 million equation, we're going to be stuck fixing it. It's been a battle. I think people think I'm just against the rec center, but I'm just against something that we can't afford. I don't know any business person that would take this on unless they just had money to spend, and we don't have. And I think, but I'm going to respect the wishes of the voters. You know, if they say let's take it, and then that will be my job to support that.
I wonder, just hearing you talk right then, I wondered if some of your sort of principles and maybe your philosophy were shaped just growing up with your mom and in the lakeside back when your mom was doing it.
I started working when I was 8 years old, and of course, yeah. I was only dusting cans at the time, and my family's been raised to work. I mean, it was, for years I worked 16 and 18 hours a day, and I know that sounds crazy, but I actually enjoyed it, and I'm probably a workaholic. As I get older, I can't do the 16 and 18 hours, but I can do quite a few hours, and I think that's what will help me be mayor, is I can do my regular job and then have the energy where now I go do my construction classes or whatever. I'll equate that into running, helping run the city. And the ceremonial part, I'm not a big ceremonial person, but I can do that. I don't need to make long speeches. Usually I can say what I have to say in very few words, and most people probably appreciate a speech that's shorter rather than longer. But I think that the work ethic that I've grown up with will equate into doing a darn good job as mayor.
All right. Cheryl, what should we say about your family? I know Mardell is still, she just turned 80 recently. 81. Okay. And tell us about your family.
Well, my mother's still alive and just had an 81st birthday.
Mardell did start Lakeside.
No, actually my grandmother started Lakeside. It was called The Hut, and it was located about where True Value is now. And then my dad bought that from my gram, and he started Lakeside and then moved it to the lake, to the Carquest area. And he died in a hunting accident probably within a year of getting into the grocery business. So my mom was stuck with the business and three kids. But in those days, people got together and helped each other. And in fact, it was kind of ironic. I was just talking to a couple customers today who were babies back when we took over or started the old Lakeside, and their parents shopped, and now she's got, had her kids in carts, and now their kids have babies in carts. So we've seen, I've seen quite a few generations, but, and my sister's retired, you know, sold Lakeside, and I'm still,
Carolyn,
and I'm still trying to help the new folks get into the grocery business. It's a little bit different. They're corporate. We were family, but I don't mind. It's a good job. Don't mind doing it, but I do plan on retiring probably in about 2 years. And then my, Carolyn has a son and who has five, and Michael and Tessie, and they have five kids. So even though they're not my grandchildren, they're pretty much like my grandkids, and they're all live in Sitka. So, you know, it's four generations, and when Grabden died about 6 years ago, we had five generations.
And when Lakeside sold, were you guys sad, or were you guys like jumping for joy? I mean, it was something your dad started and unexpectedly left in your mom's hands, and it's probably been a great thing for your family, but it's nice to sometimes not have the responsibility.
Well, the responsibility is nice not to have, but I miss the interaction that a business has as a family-owned business versus a corporation. It's just they're just run differently. But you know, this corporation has had to kind of adjust the way they do things to the Sitka market, because people in Sitka want what they want, and they've learned that you don't come in and change Sitka's shopping; they change your way of doing business.
Yeah, one time I sat next to Carolyn on the airplane, and she was already seated when I came down the aisle, and I came in, you know, and sitting next to her, I could see her looking up going, oh no, that's the guy who wants powdered soy milk. It's like, maybe he won't recognize me. But it's not the case. You can't escape. But well, anyway, it's nice to see you at the store, and I know you must do a lot of politics must transpire there in the frozen food aisle.
Almost all of it.
And the things you hear generally favorable about what you've been doing, you think?
Yeah. Well, I figure if people don't say, well, no, people will tell me if they're not happy with me. But that's what made me run the first time for the assembly is I would watch, I think I watched the meetings for about 5 or 6 years, and then we'd just kind of start talking in the store. And you know, what would go on at the assembly level wasn't what I was hearing in general from everybody, not just any group of people. And I thought, you know what? I mean, this was when I was still running the girls' softball program and coaching and even playing. And then when I got out of that, I thought, well, you know, why don't I just go give the assembly a run? And if I get elected, fine. And if I don't, then I won't sit home and watch the meetings and say, I should run. And I did. And the good folks of Sitka supported me. And I am getting a lot of support for mayor. And I don't think they're expecting, you know, me to become this ceremonial head. I think they expect me to get in and work like I do with any project I take on.
Yeah, Mayor Dabcevich in one of these settings told me that, I don't remember the exact statistic, I hate to misquote him, but he said like 99% of the people who I talk to or who call an assembly member, you know, already agree with that assembly member. I don't know if I have that right. He was like, yeah, like 99% of the people who call me already, you know, already agree with me. Do you get the feeling there working the aisles at Lakeside that most of the people coming up and talking with you are, you know, they share your views about what's good and not good about the assembly? Or are they telling you, Cheryl, I just wanted to say I disagree with what was, you know, the way you voted last night. How, I mean, I'm just curious, mainly. How's that go?
I welcome both comments, pro and con. I've had people come up and say, I didn't like how you voted on this, but I like how you vote on that. And that's what I like about being so accessible is that I welcome both pros and cons, and I might give them reasons that I disagree with, you know, their idea of why I voted a certain way. And sometimes they, you know, they with a little more information, they may see things like I do, and they say, well, no, I still don't like how you voted that, but I, you know, I like in general what you're doing. Or, and the ones that don't talk to me at all, I know they're still probably not happy with me, and I don't try to talk politics. Usually people come up and start talking to me. I told the new owners when they were taking over, I said, well, I'm in politics, and people come in the store to talk to me, and if that you have a problem with that, then I can't work here, because that's why I ran the first time, is that people can find me. I just assume they come in and talk to me as opposed to writing emails and calling, and where they can't make it into the store, then I don't, you know, I'll answer the emails or the phone calls. But, you know, there's something looking somebody in the eye and telling them and why you do something or why you didn't do something. Maybe they'll agree, maybe they'll disagree, but hopefully they'll respect you and go from there.
Cheryl Westover, thanks very much for coming in.
Thanks, Robert, for having me.